You're listening to an iHeart podcast.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
And we return to Our American Stories. Up next, we'll hear Jeremy Clark's story, a story of brokenness and loneliness and, ultimately, redemption and love. Jeremy went from being the leader of a prison gang to being a leader and inspiration for many. Take it away, Jeremy.
You do realize the only time I've ever been interviewed was by the police. Well, my mother was a good mother, but she was never there. She worked in the bars. She worked in the bar at 2 o'clock in the morning, so she'd leave me at the house by myself when I was 8, 9 years old. And my real daddy had got killed when I was 2 years old in an accident. So I didn't have no daddy. My little cousin, he was born with a Bible in his hand. He lived this perfect little life where I thought it was perfect, and, you know, compared to mine, because he had a daddy, he had a mama. So even though his daddy kind of whooped him and stuff like that, at least he had somebody there to whoop him. Every man my mama brought home was, I mean, he wasn't father material, you know what I mean? He wasn't going to throw the football with me or the baseball. He was there for mama. And that eventually got me living with my grandparents, who pretty much raised me for a while. And they owned a beer joint. And they had a little living quarters, and that's where I lived. From 8 years old, they let me, it was okay to drink. You know, do you know what quarters are, where you bounce a quarter in a cup? And it's got alcohol and you get to drink it. 8, 9, 10 years old, I was pretty good at that. Yeah. I went to the babysitters, and that's where I kind of got molded into something, because I got molested, and he would molest all the little boys. So it kind of got me, I guess at an early age, kind of getting bitter toward anybody who was in any type of authority. So I remember going back to the babysitters, and there was a watermelon field, and we busted every watermelon in that, in that field. So I guess that was the start of my criminal career. I didn't have a curfew. So I was gone all the time, unless like I was 21, not 12, and the police would bring me home. Just crazy stuff. I glued about 100 mailboxes shut one time. I'd just go through and egg people's houses and boats. And I mean, just crazy foolishness. And it's like when I rolled into a neighborhood, property value dropped, you know. Like, oh, he knows where this neighborhood's at now. Won't be able to sell none of these houses, you know. My grandparents were drunks. I mean, they were for real alcoholics. So I seen what alcohol would do to you. When I was real little, I did it because I thought, oh, this is cool. But then when I seen what it turned them into, I was like, I don't want no part of that. And I guess just the trick of the enemy, man. Well, the drugs won't do you like that. They're different. So I couldn't afford no real drugs when I was a kid, so I huffed gas because for about 50 cents and a 2-liter bottle, you could stay high all weekend. And I really didn't think my life was going in no bad direction, but my mama kept waking me up over a gas can. So at 14, I went to my first rehab. First of all, how do you go to rehab, man, and tell everybody that you're addicted to huffing gas? You know, they're there, man, I'm gonna smoke crack, or I'm on crystal meth, man, I got a weed addiction, I'm an alcoholic. What do you do, you know? Well, I ain't got none after 7-Eleven, man. You lose every cool point. And they kicked me out. I did something to get kicked out of there. So that's when my little cousin that was born with a Bible says, you've tried everything in the world. Try Jesus one time. If you don't like him, you always go back to what you was doing. And so I was like, all right, bet. I went to church, and there was a man up there preaching. And I didn't pay him no attention. until he stopped dead in the middle of his sermon and said, there's somebody in here that does not believe in God. But if you'll run to the altar, don't walk, don't jog, but run. God's going to show himself to you. And when he said that, I knew exactly who he was talking to. And I remember the first thought that came through my head at that point was, why did I sit on the back row of this church? But I ran, like somebody set me on fire. And I ran down there and I just stopped. I looked up and I said, God, this is your one chance to prove that you do exist. But I'm here to prove that you don't. And when I opened my eyes again, I was looking at the lights. I don't know what happened to me, but it got my attention. So I was like, this might be worth trying. Like, it was to the point to where the next day I showed up at church and they're like, we're not having service today. I'm like, man, whatever happened to me, it happened in there, and it was this more real than you standing here talking to me. That's what I told the lady at the church. So I just went and sat in the sanctuary with no lights on. And I did that every day for a while. And my mama had married a man that was not very, I'm not going to say he didn't like me. He probably would have if I would have acted right, but I made his life miserable. So therefore, he didn't really care much for me. But they called me a Jesus freak. They said, you're a Jesus freak, and this ain't normal. So I'm like, well, I can always go back to doing what I was doing. That's what you want me to do. And so they kicked me out of the house at 15 years old. And I had to go stay with a man that was preaching that message. He's like, well, you can just come sleep on the floor at the house. And he ended up molesting me. So at that point, my disbelief in God before only intensified now. So I just took off running as far from God as I possibly could and as fast as I could. And the way that it started happening was like at church one day, man, they was doing music practice and their drummer was late. And I was looking at them drums, like, they said, can you play them? I was like, yeah, I can play them. Yeah, I can play them. So they said, well, get over there and try it. And I get over there and I can keep a beat. And I was like, you've had drum lessons? No. And when I played them drums, everything in my life was okay. So I started playing the drums some. I loved playing the drums. I wanted to play every service, not because I was like prideful about it, because the other dude was way better than I was, but it's like all the problems I ever had in life, every failure, all that disappeared. Every struggle disappeared. And like while I was playing them drums, I was winning over everything. And I remember one night laying there and I woke up and I start crying and I said, this ain't right. I know this ain't right. And I would pray out loud, thinking it would make him stop. But it'd be like, if you wanna play them drums tomorrow, I'm just gonna lay there. So I would just lay there and cry. I ended up 19 years old, I think I was. That's when I ended up catching my first felony charge, going to jail. I don't remember how old I was when I first went to prison, but it was not long after that. That's when I got involved in gang activity and joined the Aryan Brotherhood. It was just like a networking system because I had become a drug dealer. And I got tattooed on my arm, Scarface, because that was like, when I seen that movie as a teenager, I was like, that's what I want to be when I grow up. Not the fireman or the police officer, but I want to be that guy with duffel bags full of money. And in the gang world, people would listen to me. So I made it to the top in a very short period of time. I ended up making it to the outside state captain position, which means I was over everybody in the free world. So everybody had to listen to me everywhere I went.
And you've been listening to Jeremy Clark tell his story, and notice how he goes from the absolute tragic to laughing about it. And back and forth he goes through this really terrible story, at least so far. He had a good mother, he said, but there was never a father present. He was killed in an accident. Every man my mom brought home was not father material. He lived with his grandparents. They were drunks, he said. He started his criminal career tearing up a watermelon patch. No curfew led to, well, all kinds of craziness and foolishness, Jeremy said. Into church, a great experience, and then a wretched one to follow. And not soon thereafter, though he found some solace playing the drums. he found more in the Aryan Brotherhood. And gang life, well, it took to him, and he took to it. When we come back, more of Jeremy Clark's story, a story of despair and redemption, here on Our American Story.
Tired of spills and stains on your sofa? Wash away your worries with Anabe. Anabe is the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly prices. That's right, sofas start at just $699. Enjoy a no-risk experience with pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and changeable slip covers made with performance fabric. Experience cloud-like comfort with high-resilience foam that's hypoallergenic and never needs fluffing. The sturdy steel frame ensures longevity, and the modular pieces can be rearranged anytime. Shop washablesofas.com for up to 60% off site-wide, backed by a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not absolutely in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping or restocking fees. Every penny back. Upgrade now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
And we're back with Our American Stories and with Jeremy Clark's story. When we last left off, Jeremy had just joined a prison gang and quickly made it to the top, becoming the leader of everyone in the Aryan Brotherhood.
June 8, 2016 is the day it happened. I got involved in some gang stuff and ended up catching a murder charge. January the 8th, 2017, I got locked up for 2 murder charges. I didn't kill nobody, though. One of them, I guess it's like if one house on this street gets broken into and the house on this street gets broken into, and it way across town, you get caught breaking into a house where you just broke into all of them. So that's kind of what happened. But anyway, so I beat one murder charge, and then the other one, I ended up getting sentenced on. A congressman labeled me the Al Capone of the Aryan Brotherhood of Mississippi. So I go to jail, and I get indicted on conspiracy to commit murder, attempt to murder, drive-by shooting with a gang enhancement. That's 2 life sentences plus 25 years. I'm never supposed to go home. They put me in a cell by myself, put me a brand new television in there, and put me a Bible in there. And I remember tearing the plastic off that TV, thinking, man, what in the world? And there was nothing on TV. So I picked my Bible up one day, I looked at it, and I said, God, I will never read this book again. I'll never do it again. So there was nothing on TV for about 2 or 3 days. So as I picked it back up again, and I read from Genesis to Revelations in 31 days and said, God, I don't know how in the world I'm going to ever get through this, but if you'll help me through it, I'll give you every day I got left. So he instantly, man, things just started happening. I read a book by Joel Osteen called It's Your Time, and I just kept telling myself, Jeremy, it's your time. And I started telling people that was in that jail I was in, I'm going home. And they thought I was crazy because the zone I was on was an all-violent zone. It was like 6 people on the zone and there was 11 bodies accounted for. One dude had 5 murder charges he was fighting. I mean, it was just like not somewhere you really want to go to sleep at. And none of us was looking at something that had a way out. We all was doomed with no hope. And I just, for whatever reason, I was like, man, I'm going home. So what should have been life ended up being 5 years. And when I got out, Of course, I went into a very unhealthy environment, and I didn't make it very long at all, and I was messed up again. The man my mom was married to got her on drugs. So, I mean, I went back into everybody's getting high. So I just went back to getting high. And, of course, then I went back to fooling with drugs every day, all day long. So I kept some more charges. In February of 2020, I go to court. The DA tells my lawyer, loud enough for me to hear him, Clark has got to go to jail today. So I thought in my mind, he's giving me a head start. And so I took off running out of the courtroom. I'm facing forever. I had 93 years worth of drug charges I was facing. I was looking at 20 mandatory years. So I ran, and I stayed on the run for 2 months. April the 13th, they caught me. And they asked me when they got me to the jail, why don't you run out of the courtroom? I said, because I wanted to see my mama one more time. Because I know I'm going to die in prison, but I wanted to see her again. So I'm sitting in jail. That's on the 13th. On the 15th, I collapse on the floor. And I just tell God, God, I cannot live this way another day. It's took everything that I love away from me. It's cost me everything. I'm not asking you to get me out of trouble, but I'm asking you to change me on the inside. I can't wake up and want the same things. I can't wake up and be the same person on the inside. Something's got to change, because if I wake up tomorrow the same way that I go to bed tonight, I'm not going to bed that way again. And when I woke up the next morning, something was different. So I started living for God in jail, looking at another hopeless situation. But what I had to go on to give me strength was that he had never failed me. Even though I had spit in his face and turned around and walked away from him. So September the 19th, the jail approved during the middle of COVID and everything. There wasn't no visitors coming in or nothing. The jail approved for me to get a visit from my mama for 2 hour contact visit. And when she showed up on the 19th, I've never seen her smile the way that she did that day. It's like she knew Jeremy's different. The best visit ever. She went home from that visit, lay down, and never woke back up. When they called me up front to the phone on September the 20th, and I got the phone call that my mama passed away, I remember just sinking into the floor, man, and just squalling my eyes out. But it's like, even though I was falling apart, something on the inside said, but you're going to be okay. You know, my mama died thinking I was getting 20 mandatory years. So we bury her on September the 23rd. I go to court on October the 2nd to accept 20 mandatory years. And when I walked to the door of the courtroom, somebody who didn't know nothing about me, didn't even know what charges I was on. Her name's Kay Larson. Of course, I didn't find this out till a little bit later on. She said, Jeremy, when you walked to the door of the courtroom, she said, God spoke to me and said, that's the one, help him. So that day, she fought for me. My 20 went to 10, and I accepted a 10-year prison sentence again. In 8 months, she fought for me and got my sentence overturned. And when they overturned my sentence, they sent me to a place called the Home of Grace. I fought going there. I wanted to go to every other rehab in the world with that one, because you can only talk on the phone for like 15 minutes a week or something. I was like, man, I talk on the phone with one. But when I got there, man, and I went through that gate and I seen that Home of Grace sign, it's like God said, this is your Home of Grace. Because every day that I live now is strictly because of grace. It ain't because I've done something to deserve it or to earn it. It's strictly grace. Whenever I caught the murder charge for the Aaron Brotherhood, you know, I told them guys, look, I didn't tell you to shoot this guy. Y'all gonna hold up for that? I'm not. And I was like, I'm done with this. So they was like, you can't quit this. And I said, I'm not asking for your permission. And I didn't send no permission slip for you to sign. I'm telling you that if you told me I could live 1,000 more years as a member of the Aaron Brotherhood and have all the drugs, women, money, whatever I wanted, but I had to be an AB to get it. I said, or you put a block of wood right there. For being a Christian, I had to put my head on that block of wood. Let you cut my head off. I said, I'm fixing to lay my head on that block of wood. I said, so I hope you're willing to kill for your cause, because I'm willing to die for mine now. And I meant it. And it was like, well, people was kicking their shoes off. And I don't know why. The only explanation why they couldn't touch me, because they was way bigger than I was because God had put a hedge around me. Because they was all up in my face, screaming and hollering, and they couldn't touch me.
And you're listening to Jeremy Clark tell a heck of a story. He was labeled the Al Capone of the Aryan Brotherhood in Mississippi by a U.S. congressman. He picked up the Bible, read it, and then gave his life to God after swearing he'd never pick it up. It's Your Time, a book by Joel Osteen, helped facilitate some of that change in his thinking. And what should have been life, well, it turned out to be 5 years. And he gets out, but he's still the same guy. And boom, back to drugs and back in court again. And somehow an angel comes into his life. And we've had these people show up in our lives, all of us, from out of nowhere and help us. And some call them angels. I don't know what you call them. Now, that's what a lot of people I know call them. And my goodness, this woman fought for him. And ultimately, back to the Bible again, and he asks God to change him on the inside. Meets his mother that last time. She smiles, knowing he's changed, dies. And the rest of his life, well, we're about to hear about that after these messages. The life of Jeremy Clark, from despair to redemption, here on Our American Stories.
There's nothing like sinking into luxury. Anabe sofas combine ultimate comfort and design at an affordable price. Anabe has designed the only fully machine washable sofa from top to bottom. The stain-resistant performance fabric slipcovers and cloud-like frame duvet can go straight into your wash. Perfect for anyone with kids, pets, or anyone who loves an easy-to-clean, spotless sofa. With a modular design and changeable slipcovers, you can customize your sofa to fit any space and style. Whether you need a single chair, love seat, or a luxuriously large sectional, Anabe has you covered. Visit washablesofas.com to upgrade your home. Sofas start at just $699. And right now, you can shop up to 60% off store-wide with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Add a little to your life. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
It's true that some things change as we get older. But if you're a woman over 40 and you're dealing with insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, you don't have to accept it as just another part of aging. And with Midi Health, you can get help and stop pushing through it alone. The experts at Midi understand that all these symptoms can be connected to the hormonal changes that happen around menopause, and Midi can help you feel more like yourself again. Many healthcare providers aren't trained to treat or even recognize menopause symptoms. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts. They're dedicated to providing safe, effective, FDA-approved solutions for dozens of hormonal symptoms, not just hot flashes. Most importantly, they're covered by insurance. 91% of MIDI patients get relief from symptoms within just 2 months. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
And we're back with Our American Stories and with Jeremy Clarks. Jeremy has been sharing with us this vicious cycle of being put behind bars, and yet the moment he gets out of prison, he goes right back to living the toxic life he'd led before and in a toxic environment. He desperately wants a new life, but he's been in the stronghold of addiction. Back to Jeremy.
I just was in and out of prison. And when I went to court this last time, of course, I was guilty. Because at this point now, I'm an addict. You know what I mean? I'm struggling with addiction every day. And I said, I want to talk to the judge. My lawyer said, you are an idiot, Jeremy. I said, I just got to do what I feel like God wants me to do. She said, Jeremy, if you talk to the judge, they're going to give you everything. I said, look, I've got to do what I feel like God wants me to do. If they give it all to me, I'm just going to get it. So they're giving me the 10 years, and it's my turn to talk. And I said, Your Honor, My case is not even about innocence or guilt, because I'm guilty of every charge they're accusing me of. I said, I'm guilty. Cocks his old head sideways. I said, but what my case is about is God still changed people's lives? And I said, because the person that's standing in front of you today is not the same person that caught them charging. I said, so I'm not asking you to do anything, but just ask God. So he gave me the 10 years. So I go back to the jail, but I go back and keep doing what I was doing. We started Bible study on his own. We would sing. We were keeping the people in the whole jail up all night. It'd be midnight, we'd be singing. Be 40 of us in there singing, couldn't sing a lick while we was trying. And one dude that was in there says, man, I want to get baptized. Will you baptize me? Because all I did was read my Bible, talk about Jesus. And I said, yeah, I'm baptized. He said, boy, ain't got no baptism. I'll do it in the shower. Anyway, I take him to the shower, didn't know what I was doing. But other people started lining up. It was like, when we get baptized too? Then the door started popping. Now, in prison, the people don't carry you from another building. But the guards was like, well, these people down at the other end of the building, in the building next door, all of a sudden they wanted to get baptized. So the guards was like, well, they baptizing over there in that building. So they started bringing inmates in there, and we were, you know, putting them on in the shower. So that was pretty cool. So at that point, I have to start dealing with forgiveness with the man who did this to me, molested me. And it wasn't very easy, because that man went from being a youth pastor with this much pay to being a worship leader and youth pastor in a church twice the size, you know, and he just walked off the platform from winning the equivalent to American Idol for gospel music. And in 2017, this is the moment that it happened. I'm in jail facing forever. I called home one day, and they said, did you hear what happened to Sudden Sons? And I said, no. They said, well, he just went to jail. Because people had found out that it wasn't just me, it was other people. So I'm like, well, I want his number. And I called him, and I said, look, I want you to understand something, man. Right now, you're going to want to give up and walk away. Put your head down with shame and guilt, and you're just going to give up. I said, you can't. I said, because do you realize how many men struggle with what you struggle with, that you're their way out, you're their hope? I said, they're waiting on you to stand up. I said, look, man, one day you'll stand in front of a stadium full of people who battle with the same thing that you're losing to, that you just lost to. I said, but you'll be the reason that they win. And this is the moment it all broke. It's almost like when I got my lick back, when I was able to say, oh, look, he finally got in trouble. I didn't want that. For a long time, the only pain I seen was mine. The only pain I felt was mine. What I dished out on you, I didn't feel. You did. I didn't. I realized that you could put all the pain I was feeling in a thimble, but you couldn't get every dump truck in the world to hold all the pain that I'd caused somebody else. I realized that if God could use me, that he could still use him. And I make a call one day, and I talked to that court reporter. She said, look, I can't say a whole lot. She said, but be ready in the morning. I think you're going somewhere. Where I'm going, you know. I want to know now. So what? Then she just hangs up on me. I'm like, okay. Well, the next morning they come got me and took me back to court. And the judge is sitting there and he's like, look, they didn't tell me this. This is what they told her. I said, look, Kay, we don't like him. We don't think he's ever going to change. And frankly, we don't care if he does. But we do love you. So we're going to do this. But not for him, we're gonna do this for you. They overturned my sentence that day at court and let me out. For whatever reason, she seen something in me worth fighting for. I never thought I would be living the life I'm living right now. There was a time in my life where I never thought I'd be able to open the refrigerator and get the cool breeze hitting me in my face. I never thought I'd get to go to Walmart and wonder why they had 50 cash registers and only one of them open. I never thought anybody could cut me off in traffic or cuss me out or give me the finger. You know what I mean? I never thought I would be able to run my fingers through the grass or lay down and get bit by ants, because everywhere I was at was concrete and fences. What people seen as an inconvenience is a problem, man. I wished I could have had them. Just to go get in my vehicle and ride down the road sometimes is overwhelming. We take things so for granted. I was at Academy Sports yesterday, and these people had an Academy card, and it wouldn't work. And he turns around and he's like, man, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry for this inconvenience. And I'm just smiling. I'm like, this ain't no big deal, you know. It's okay. I said, Mama said there'd be days like this, you know. And I'm sitting there thinking, like, the fact that his car didn't work, you know, next time he goes and swipes and it does, that's going to feel different to him. If it wasn't for the times when it didn't swipe, and if it wasn't for the times when things were bad, man, the good days wouldn't feel as good. I will tell you this story. The first major crime I committed was I robbed somebody for $160,000. And I was trailer park rich, you hear me? And I did go hire a lawyer. When I took that money, I went and hired a lawyer. And he said, what do you do? I said, I can't tell you because I don't trust you. So I give him like 12 grand of that money. I was like, look, whenever all I can tell you is when I call you, you need to come. Well, what have you done? Well, I don't trust you enough to tell you this. He's like, well, you want a receipt? I said, I don't want anything with your name on it in my vehicle. And I paid a lawyer, bought a vehicle with this money. Then a week later, somebody tells on me, I get caught. They get the vehicle back. They get, you know, a lot of the money back and all that stuff. So the man I robbed for that $160,000, I feel led one day, I feel like the good Lord's telling me to call this man, ask him, can I buy that vehicle? Because I ain't had no way of going or nothing. And so I called him up. I'm pumped up too, man. I'm talking about, man, I'm just knowing God's all in the middle of this, and this man's fixing to sell me this truck. Life's just going to be great. And I said, Mr. Bob, you are, I know that you're going to think I'm crazy, but can I buy a vehicle for you? And about 10 minutes later, when he quit concussing me, he said, if you're the last person on earth, I wouldn't sell you this vehicle. And I was like, I thought I had this going a different way, you know. I said, all right, I'll thank you. I'll holler at you later. And the next morning, my mama calls me and says, you need to call Bob. I said, I'm not calling Bob. I called him yesterday. And my ears are still on fire. I'm not calling. She said, just call him. I said, I'm not calling him. There's no way that I'm fixing to call him. Do you know what he said to me? I didn't know them words existed that he called me. She said, just call him. I said, all right. I had no intentions of calling him. And when I hung the phone up, I just told Mama, okay. And I got to sitting there, I said, you know what, I'm going to call him. So I call him, and I'm like, I'm holding the phone back here because I'm knowing he's listening to me. He said, hello. And I said, I was told to call you. Is there any truth in that? He said, yeah. He said, I couldn't sleep at all last night. God said, when a man's down, you don't kick him, you help him up. He said, I don't want to see you, but the title of that truck's in the glove box and the keys in it. Come get it, sure. So my life's been full of that stuff. I went through a roadblock the other night. We just sit there and talked, and then finally one of them officers like, was that dude back there in that car behind him? Is he going to be okay for a minute? Because we're just sitting there like he don't even exist, you know? And I'm like, I love what this relationship has become, you know? Because I hated the cops. There was a police, and he was a cop that thought he's supposed to cuss everybody out, you know what I mean? Criminals are in my, you know, we're all just horrible pieces of trash. But he said that God used me to change his views on it. But really, God used him to just change the way I viewed cops. Me and him became friends. I just celebrated 2 years clean and sober. So he's fixing to give me my 2 year chill. It's just crazy, man. Because I never thought I'd be able to do this again. To sit here and tell my story.
And it is indeed crazy. And crazy beautiful. Especially good job by Madison Derricotte, our producer. And a special thanks to Jeremy Clark for telling his story, all of it, the raw parts, the ugly parts, and the beautiful parts. A story of despair, a story of redemption, and so much more. God at the center. Jeremy Clark's story here in Our American Stories.
You're listening to an iHeart podcast.